Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Someone recently brought to my attention a tweet that read, "Christians are really trying to convince us that the God who murdered Bathsheba's newborn, killed all the firstborn sons of Egypt, sent bears to murder little children, commanded Joshua to kill all the children in Jericho, now suddenly cares about unborn babies. This line of thinking is persuasive to many. How should we respond when we are faced with it?"
All right. Well, the idea behind this tweet, or the point being made by the tweet, is that the God of the Bible can't have it both ways. He can't murder people and care about unborn babies. If he does, he's a hypocrite. But let's assume, for the sake of argument, that God is a hypocrite. The tweeter is a hypocrite too, because this person who tweeted this thing is arguing for abortion by making moral judgments against God for taking human life. So the tweeter can't have it both ways either. You can't champion the killing of unborn babies while condemning God for killing people. But we find the abortion lobby making these kinds of arguments all the time in order to relieve their consciences of any kind of pressure from any kind of moral authority. But the question for us is, we're dealing with this question is, do we just have two different hypocrites here? Is God a hypocrite, and is the person who tweeted this a hypocrite? No, the real issue is, who has the right to give and take life? Is it man or God? And when that question is answered rightly, then hypocrisy is left on only one side of that fence. So we're gonna deal with this question. We're also going to address some of the other wrong assumptions made by the tweets, so that, as Paul wrote in Romans 3, God may be justified in his words and prevail when he's judged.
Yeah, let's start by saying God does bring about the deaths of people.
Certainly, we're not running from the assertion that God takes life. Obviously, he does. I would take issue with the characterization of God murdering people. I'll explain why in a moment, but this tweet uses that word repeatedly. God murders different people. We'll talk about why that's inappropriate. But the Bible does have many examples of God bringing about the deaths of people, both directly and indirectly. So the Bible isn't afraid of the truth that God gives life and takes life. And in addition to the examples offered by the tweet referenced in this question, we could add many others. I'll just name a few. The earliest and biggest is the flood in Genesis. All the people on the face of the earth except eight were drowned by God. Then we go to the book of Leviticus, and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire before the altar of God, and they were immediately killed by God. We have two of Judah's sons, Ur and Onan. God put both of them to death, and the Bible just says of Ur that he was evil. It says of Onan that he was put to death for not raising up offspring on behalf of his brother. God killed both of them. We could name a lot of other examples, but God does take life. There's no argument about that. The question is, does he have the right to do it?
Yeah, as the sovereign creator, God has absolute right over the giving and taking of life.
Yeah, God created all things. That's Genesis chapter 1. God created everything. And the Bible doesn't just leave it there. It assumes some things from the fact that God is the creator. He created all things, therefore he owns everything, therefore he has absolute right over everything. And we could reference scriptures like Psalm 24, Psalm 89, verses 11 and 12, Job 41, 11. God owns everything because he created it, and because he owns everything, he can do whatever he wants with his creation. By his providential kindness, he sustains life. everyone who exists, everyone who's living right now, they are breathing, their hearts are beating because God is causing that to happen. We all, every one of us, we owe every breath that we take to God. Any atheist who denies God does so with breath that God supplies. One of God's prerogatives as the creator and sustainer and Lord of all things is absolute control and authority over life and death. He gave all life. He can sustain it as long as he desires, and he has the right to remove life whenever he pleases. That's an absolute authority and power unique to him as God. And we read things to that effect in the scriptures in places like Deuteronomy 32:39, which reads, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." That's God talking. 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 and 7 says basically the same thing, but speaks of God in the third person. "The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts." God is in control of life and death. Now, man doesn't like this, just like the person who tweeted that tweet. Man doesn't like this because we want to be in control of all things, but God is ultimate and supreme. Again, the Bible is not embarrassed about this. It makes no apologies for this attribute of God. Rather, it calls man not only to accept that God is the Lord of all things, but to celebrate it. God owns all things. He has the right to take life. And when God brings about a death, it's not as if he has taken something that belongs to somebody else. In fact, when we use that phrase, taking a life, God taking a life, that really is probably not the best way to think of this. If God brings about my death, it's not as if he's taken my life, which belongs to me. All life belongs to him. Romans 11:36 says, "From him and through him and to him are all things." If God brings about my death, he has simply done what he pleases with something that belongs to him. And no one, not even I, can say, "What are you doing?" God used one of the most unlikely of people in the Bible to show that not only should we not question God, but we should celebrate his sovereignty over all things, including life. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4 is one of the last people on the planet that we would expect to extol God's sovereignty over life, but he does that very thing. This is Nebuchadnezzar after experiencing the sovereign power of God. He says, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to the heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" So man can't stop God from doing what he desires, nor does man have the right to question God. In a sense, Nebuchadnezzar had put himself on the same plane as God. If you go and read those chapters in Daniel, you'll see what we're talking about. Nebuchadnezzar had this prideful heart. He elevated himself essentially to the place of God, and so God showed him who really is God. God made Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like a cow for 7 years. So God showed him, Nebuchadnezzar, you and I are not equals. I'm God, you're not. And it is after that episode, after his reason returned to him, that Nebuchadnezzar said, "Yeah, you're right, Yahweh, you are God, I'm not." And Nebuchadnezzar praised him for that sovereign control. The person who tweeted the thing that we're talking about here has made a similar mistake, assuming that we as human beings are peers with God. The tweeter assumes that God shouldn't do things that he expects us not to do. Well, that doesn't work. He's God, and we're not. And that is why we should say God doesn't murder anybody. God can't murder. Murder is the unlawful, premeditated killing of a human being by another. So by definition, God can't murder because he's not a human being, but more importantly, he can't murder because it's not unlawful for him to take life. He has absolute sovereign right to give and take life. All life belongs to him. He can do with it whatever he wants.
Yeah, man does not have the right to take life except as directed by God himself.
Right. And that comes to us from the earliest parts of the Bible. In Genesis 4, when Cain killed Abel, God brought judgment upon him. Cain became the first of many to commit murder, a problem that God dealt with by bringing judgment in the form of the flood. But there is not a moral equivalency between man murdering man and God drowning all mankind in the flood. Man is obligated to abide by God's laws, on the one hand. God is bound by his own righteous character to bring judgment upon those who break his law. So when God brought the flood, God's not murdering anybody. He's bringing judgment upon wrongdoers. And that's why this judgment of God is why after the flood, God instituted the death penalty for murder. Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." So man is able to take life only as directed by God. If somebody kills another person, their life should be taken. Why is that? Because man is made in God's image, and murder is an offense against the image of God in man. Now, to bring the death penalty upon a murderer is not murder, because that is the lawful taking of a life. It's commanded by God. Now, people who think like the tweeter typically aren't interested in such distinctions, because what they really want is to justify their own actions and to do whatever they want. They don't want to be accountable to God or anyone else. So they come up with reasons to not believe what the Bible says, or to explain away the God of the Bible, or to make him sound like a hypocrite so that nobody will take him seriously. You may or may not be able to reason with someone like that in the way that we're talking about here, because they have an agenda that really doesn't involve understanding the truth. But getting back to the point, man doesn't have the right to take life except as directed by God. This is precisely why man can't just abort babies or euthanize old people or kill people with special needs. God gives and takes life. When he takes life, we have no right to question him. He's God. He's the creator and author and sustainer and owner of all life. He's not under our authority. We're under his. When we take life, he has the absolute right to bring justice upon us. So going back to the hypocrisy issue, there is no hypocrisy in God, because it is not unlawful for God to do what he wills with what belongs to him. It is unlawful for us to do whatever we will with what belongs to God. So God can remove life all day long, innocent or guilty life, and there's nothing unlawful happening. He can simultaneously give us laws requiring us to never take any life. There is no hypocrisy on God's part, because life belongs to him. On the other hand, the tweeter is still buried in hypocrisy, because the tweeter wants to say, it's wrong for God to remove life, which belongs to God, but it's okay for me to remove life, which belongs to God. So there really is only one hypocrite in this scenario, and it's not God.
Would you say anything to the way the tweet characterized the different cases of God taking life?
I would. As I've already said, it's wrong to use the word murder with God. He can't murder, because he has the right to take life. There's nothing unlawful about what he's doing. All of these instances that the tweeter brings up, the tweeter is hypocritical in using them. So this person has intentionally characterized these cases in such a way as to appear to be just blatant taking of innocent life in an attempt to justify their support of abortion, which is the taking of innocent life. I mean, it's really remarkable the way that these people think. But in each of these cases that the tweeter brought up, I would say that God is God. He can do what he wills with what belongs to him. But in most of the cases that the tweet brought up, there is a larger point being made. In the case of David and Bathsheba's son, there was no cruelty involved, which is implied by the tweet. They say, oh, God's horrible for murdering Bathsheba's son. Well, that was a judgment for David's sin of adultery, and that was God's prerogative. It was precisely to that judgment that David wrote what Paul quoted in Romans 3, when he said, may you be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In other words, David thought that what God did in taking his son was just. Then we have the instance from 2 Kings 2, which the tweeter characterized as God sending bears to murder little children. Again, it wasn't murder. It was judgment for their sinful disrespect against a prophet of God, Elisha. And that may seem like a severe sentence. It really isn't when you consider that the sentence we all deserve for the first time we have a self-centered thought is instantaneous eternity in hell. There's no unreasonable punishment that God could bring against sin. Certainly not bears killing us. The next example was God commanding Joshua to kill all the children in Jericho. Well, it wasn't just Jericho, it was all the children in Canaan, and this is a favorite of skeptics, but we're running a little bit long on time, and that may be an issue to do a whole episode on. We may do a whole episode on how to understand that thing, but there's a lot more to that than just God being insensitive to all the people in Canaan. There is a sense in which it was a mercy to those small children in Canaan to bring judgment upon their parents and to wipe them away with it. We can talk about that on another episode, but at the end of the day, there's no hypocrisy involved in God's removing life while expecting us to preserve life. We are all responsible to God for our actions, and we simply do not have the right to take life. The tweet brought up in this question is just filled with hypocrisy, and it's transparent once you drill down into it.
Yeah. Well, we hope this episode has been helpful to you, especially in light of all that's going on right now. Please share it if you did find it helpful. And until next time, Greg.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.